John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known."
Hey guys, how we doing? That well? Okay. Good to be here with you guys as well. I'm just as excited as you are. It's good to be here. If I haven't met you, my name's Pat. Really excited for tonight because we are launching a new series. You might have seen it up on the screens or up the back. The new series is called Heaven Meets Earth. And we're going to be hanging around in the book of John with this idea in our minds, thinking about heaven meeting earth as we talk about Jesus and not just him, but also what he has done and the things that he did that no one can explain. And we're hearing this from a book called John. And if you're new to the Bible, it's called John because a bloke named John wrote it. And a bit of his story is that he was with Jesus through his whole ministry. So kind of 3 years of nonstop every day with Jesus. He saw these things firsthand and he witnessed them, and now he wants to tell us about them. Today, all we want to do though, as we open up the first chapter of this book of John, is establish two things. The first one, who Jesus is, and the second, what Jesus did. So that's who Jesus is and what Jesus did. If you would pray with me, that would be great. Lord, we want to come before you now and just ask that you would help us understand what you have given to us in the Bible, Lord. And we thank you that as we open up this book, we know that they are your words to us. Lord, we just pray that you would help us comprehend who you are, Lord, and what that means to us. And Lord, what you did and what that means to us, Lord. And we pray that you would help us all to respond to that. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've come to a sad conclusion lately, and you can be sad with me. It's that I'm getting old, right? I've started to realize this. It's really starting to dawn on me how old I'm getting. We had a conversation in the office not long ago about like what qualifies someone to still be in young adults ministry, right? And we're kind of going through the list of my life, I've got a full-time job, I'm married, like I'm going bald, like I don't know how these things are happening, but they're making me really old, right? I got a mortgage, I have a baby, right? That's like the most adult thing you can do. And they should have, like, I'm convinced they should have a test, right? You should be able to tick off these boxes before they let you pretend to adult, right? I would fail hands down, but somehow I got away with it. I got past the test. And I'm feeling like really, really old. So I'm like, can we go to those young adults things? And I thought, well, Joshy's pretty much 40. He goes every week. That's fine. That's all good. Love you. But there's some other ways I realize, right, I'm old, right? And this is the definitive test to know how old you are. I was doing the laundry, right? That's not it alone. That's pretty close. But I was folding the sheets, right? And I came across the fitted sheet, right? The one with the elastic, for those playing at home. The one that goes on the mattress. And I folded that thing like a boss, right? Like it was perfect, no bits poking out, no fluffy bits in the cupboard, sat perfectly, right? If you can do that, you are officially an adult, okay? If you can't, you're still learning, you'll join us one day. Even though I don't feel old, I have one thing that I need to confess that I do, and it's a bit embarrassing, that makes me really old. I actually listen to AM radio. Yeah, a few supporters, all right. I pretty much got booed at 5, so that's good. It's even worse, though, because I listen to 702, which is like the oldest of the old stations, right? Oh, wow, I got some friends. All right, just the old people in the room getting around me. I like it. And the reason is, and it's an old man reason, is I just can't stand the way that the other radio stations yell at me all the time, right? Like, Jonesy and Amanda in the morning. I'm like, shut up. I'm just trying to drive to work. Leave me alone. I get really emotional when I listen to the radio. Anyway, so I'm listening to really boring radio, right? Driving along, contemplating what's next in life, like retirement or death, planning my funeral, all that sort of stuff, right? Because I'm that old and that's the only thing that I can think that's ahead of me. And they're doing this segment as they do. People call in and they chat to them and then the next person calls in as they do in these radio stations. And they got to a segment like, what superpower would you want, right? If you could have any superpower, what would it be? And we probably all got answers. Mine would be flying because it's like free skydiving. You just fly up and then skydive and then start flying again, right? That'd be really good business as well. You could like drop people and catch them and it's a business. Anyway. And they're calling up and they're having a laugh and the presenter's going back and forth, bit of chat. And then the biggest killjoy moment ever, right? This guy just wanted to ruin everyone's day. He calls up and he's like, if I could have any superpower, it'd be time travel. And the presenter's like, oh, you know, you could go back, put a bet on the Sharkies to win tonight and you get all your money back. Up the Sharkies. And he's like, no. He's like, oh, you could go back and you could show a caveman your iPhone, teach him how to Snapchat, like that sort of thing, right? And he's like, no, I wish I could travel back in time so I could go and fix all the relationships that I've ruined with the people that I love. It's like, oh, man, like I'm just trying to get to work, right? Like, I don't need this on my conscience, right? And so this guy was like, I'd just love to be able to have a fresh start, right? I wish I could just start again with those relationships. And it's really annoying and it's a buzzkill, but he's kind of got a good point. I wonder if you guys have ever felt like that, like you just wanted a fresh start. You just wanted a clean slate. You wanted to start again, right? I wonder if you ever felt like that. It could have just been like, maybe you're a single guy in the room and you went up to talk to a girl and you're like, hey, how you going? Oh, I'm so sorry. You're like, man, I wish I could just start again, right? That sort of thing. I'm assuming there's a lot of people studying in the room. Maybe you're like at this point of the year and you're looking at your marks and you're going, oh, I wish I could just start again. Just give me the year all over. Or even mid-assignment, like you just got past that halfway point, like the point of no return, it's due tomorrow, and you're looking at your content going, this isn't going to pass. Like, can I please, like, start again? Maybe it's more serious, though. Maybe there's a friendship that was really close to your heart and that's been broken and you think, oh, man, I wish I could just have a fresh start, like a new beginning in that friendship. Or maybe closer to home, it's family. Maybe in your family, like, man, I wish this broken relationship, wish we could just start again. Clean slate, fresh start. Maybe even physically, medically, you're like, man, I wish I could just have a clean bill of health. Just start all over again. Could even be socially. You think socially, man, I wish like people's opinions of me could just be wiped clean and I could just start again and show them how good I am, show them how funny I am, show them how this and that I am. Or maybe when it comes to God, you think, man, I'd love a fresh start with God because there's no way that he could love me like I am right now. Like I've done too many things wrong. You know, I've sinned and I've ignored him and, you know, I've never even cared about God up to this point. There's no way that he'd take me, right? Maybe you need a fresh start with God. And that's the sort of thing that we want to talk about tonight. See, as we look at this first chapter written by John, who calls himself the best friend of Jesus, he's seen Jesus, he walked with Jesus, he interacted with Jesus. He's trying to tell us what Jesus' ministry is all about, and that is a fresh start. And we're going to see that as we simply look at two things, who Jesus is and what Jesus did. See, as John writes to tell us about Jesus, as John tries to explain who he is to us, he starts with this. John 1:1, so the very start of his kind of account of what Jesus did. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I wonder if any of these words in that sentence ring a bell to you. If you're anything like me, if you've been around church at all, the words "in the beginning" kind of ring a massive bell in your ear, and they're meant to. That's right at the start of the Bible. The first bit of the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Right? Those words are meant to come into our head, and that's meant to happen for two reasons. The first one, to take us right back to the beginning of time so we can start thinking about the fact that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That was the start. That was the beginning. And he wants us to think about that moment where everything began, so that he can say right now, at this point, as I write to you, this is a brand new beginning. This is all over again, a new beginning, a fresh start. This is a in the beginning. He wants us to think right back to the start, first, and second, he wants us to realize that this is a new beginning. This is the fresh start. This is that clean slate that we've all wanted, that we've all been looking for, and it's all about who Jesus is and what Jesus did. So who is he? Who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus that is going to give us a fresh start? We'll go back to John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. See, Jesus here is described as the Word, which happens a few times throughout the whole Bible, right? And we think back again to that creation story, and you want to think about God creating, because John's got our mind back there, and God's creating, he's saying, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be darkness, there was darkness. Let there be the sea and the land, and there was a sea and the land. God would speak, and it would happen. As God simply said the words, the sun spun into existence. The planets orbiting them and the moons orbiting them as well. Every single thing on those planets. God just spoke and it happened. For life to be created, it was created just simply as God said the word. And you've got to understand the power that is. The power of the word of God. And what John is saying to us is that power, that creative power, is the power of Jesus. The power that created all things, that is what you need to think about when you think of Jesus. I love these words. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So every single thing that is in existence because Jesus put it there. Every single thing that is sustained in existence is sustained because Jesus keeps it there. Everything that we know, everything we can see, we can hear, we can learn about, it is all from the power of Jesus because he is the creative word. The sun and the stars, the planets, the moons around those planets. But what amazes me even more is the detail of the creation of the power of Jesus. Your ability to feel loved. Even your ability to create something, to make art, your ability to imagine, to have hope, to believe in something. We go further, your ability to think critically, to analyze, to solve problems, even your ability to feel pain, the ability to create music and listen to music, to enjoy it, to see color, to hear sound, to be able to build memories, the feeling of being devoted or in love with something, and your ability to learn. Each and every little thing was created by the Word, which is Jesus. Through Jesus, all things were made. Who is Jesus? Well, he is the Word, the one who created everything, the one who created you. Every single thing that exists, exists by the power of Jesus. And it goes on to say more about Jesus. It tells us that he is light. From verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through him the world was made. The world did not recognize him. See, it's not hard. You don't have to look far to just see that we are in a world that is clearly, clearly in darkness. Australia was voted the second best country to live in, yet you look at our rate of suicide, of murder, of depression, of illness, and it's horrible. It seems that no amount of government or law or legislation can stop the wars, can stop the violence, can stop people from hurting each other. Even on a closer to home scale, we're all being a part of broken relationships, social anxiety, depression, everything. It hits so close to home. Our hearts are full of anger. So when the Bible says it's darkness, it seems to make a bit of sense. But then we're told that Jesus is light. So if there's darkness and there's brokenness, Jesus is the perfect, pure light, which does two things. First thing it does is it gives us hope and it gives us direction. A light in darkness gives you something to walk towards. It reveals things. But it also tells us about Jesus with this idea of light, that he's perfect, that he's pure. It says in him there is no darkness at all. See, the brokenness, the pain, the darkness of this world is in this world because of sin. Because of every single time that we've rejected God. And because mankind in general has rejected God. Yet in Jesus, there's none of that darkness. There's no sin. He is perfect, pure light. I hope a picture of Jesus is being painted in your head. That he is Word. He is the creator. He is the power that made and sustains this universe. That he is light. That he's not only our hope, but he is perfect and pure. If you haven't figured it out yet, as you add up these two things together, what John is trying to tell us as clear as day is that Jesus is God. Not that Jesus was made by God or created by God, but that Jesus himself is God. We can see it in the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, the Word became flesh, talking about Jesus. And then verse 18 says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. No one has ever seen God, but the Son, who is himself God. So often you hear in Christian circles people saying things like, well, I'd believe in God if I could just see him, if I could just interact with him, if I could just know what he's like. If God would just reveal himself to us, if God would just show himself to us, then maybe, possibly, I could believe. Well, aren't we missing the fact that Jesus is God? You want to understand God? Understand Jesus. You want to know God's personality? Look at Jesus' personality. You want to know how God would interact with you? Well, look how Jesus would interact with you. You want to see the power of God? Look at the power of Jesus. If you want to see God, see Jesus. If you want to know God, then get to know Jesus. If you want to meet God tonight, if you want to meet God, get to know God. Have your life changed by God, then you need to meet Jesus. If we want a life-changing encounter, a new beginning, a fresh start, a clean slate, it can only be found in Jesus. No amount of self-motivation, new mantras for our life. I'm going to do better. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to build stronger relationships. I won't stuff up like that again. None of that is going to get us there. Only meeting the Word and the light, knowing that Jesus is fully and completely God, will help us find that fresh start. Do you believe that Jesus is the creator of mankind, the creator of the universe? Do you believe that Jesus is the creator of personality, of thought patterns, and of creativity? Do you know that he's the light, the hope of the world? That he is the Word, the power of the world? Do you view Jesus as God? And I want to ask that because I am convinced, and I can say this with confidence, that each and every single one of us has a view of Jesus that is way, way too small. I can say that with confidence, myself included. Every single one of us views Jesus way too small. And we can say that with confidence because when you realize that Jesus is God, is it impossible to have a picture of him big enough in our minds? It is impossible to understand just how grand, just how great, just how powerful he is. The power, the glory, the importance, and the holiness of Jesus is impossible to comprehend. Our view of Jesus will never be big enough. He is the Word, he is light, he is God. And we need to start here. John needs to start his book here. Because only when you comprehend who Jesus is does the size and the importance of what Jesus does really matter. What Jesus did really matters. Let's have a look from verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, what we're reading about there is the biggest step of humility in all of the history, where God, the Creator, says, I will become a part of my very own creation in order to save them. I know that I made them and I knitted them together, but I will become one of them. I will put skin and bones on and I will live as a human. People talk about it as if it's like a person becoming an ant to save an anthill. But it's such a bigger step than that. He created us. He made us. He made this world. And he made every single person in it. Yet he says, I will become a human. This is the biggest step down imaginable. This is where heaven meets earth. God the Creator walking among us and interacting with us. And you start to wonder, well, if that happened, surely things would have changed. Surely things would be different. And then it starts to make sense that Jesus is the most influential person who has ever lived. We know that he was 100% God and at the same time 100% human. And we are looking this in these next coming weeks, in the next 9 weeks, at the things that Jesus did that prove that. Again and again, in front of hundreds and thousands of witnesses, he did things that only God could do. Fed crowds of people that only God could feed with such a small amount of food. Healed people from sicknesses, raised people from the dead, did what only God can do. Our Creator God decided to walk in pain and in loss and in anxiety and in human loneliness because he wanted to achieve a purpose. We know who Jesus is and we know what he did. He is God and he became man. But why did he do it? See, I've heard people say that Jesus is a wise teacher, he's a prophet, he's a leader, he's a miracle worker, he's a great preacher, but he seems to be so much more than that. See, this passage tells us that all who receive what Jesus has done and believe in him will be saved. We go to so many different places for our fresh starts and our new beginnings, but they can only be found in Jesus. You want a new beginning. If you want a fresh start, you want hope or purpose. If in your life you're feeling uninspired or there should be something more, the answer is only in Jesus. There's a reason that Jesus became man. And it was so light, as I said before, as we read before, could enter into the darkness. See, that darkness of the world, as we said, was caused by sin. And that sin is on each and every single one of us tonight. And that darkness, that separation from God, is not only for this life, but for all of eternity. In that rejection of God, in that moving away from God, we find ourselves in the darkness. But Jesus came holy, perfect, and pure, so that he could have a grand exchange, where he says, you can have my light, my purity, my perfection, and I'll take your darkness and your sin and every time you've hurt me. You don't have to be around Christians for long enough to hear about Jesus dying on the cross. He's dying because the punishment for that darkness, the punishment for that sin is death. And he wanted us to be able to walk in the darkness, walk in the light, sorry. And then to do that, he needed to take our darkness. That's why verse 12 says, all who did receive him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You look how uneven this is, and we simply just choose the darkness. God becomes man, dies in our place so we can go from the darkness into his marvelous light. So often people say, I want to see God. Well, then look to Jesus. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son who is himself God. When we encounter Jesus, the Word, the Light, and we hear what he has done for us, that he has died in our place, we also need to know that he has risen again from the grave because he is the power of God. He is the Creator power. Death could not hold him. And in doing that, he comes and offers us a relationship. He offers us to walk in his light that our darkness may be nailed to the cross he died on. And for that reason, we need to respond. For that reason, we need to decide whether we're going to continue in the darkness, ignoring Jesus, ignoring what he's done, ignoring the fact that God became man and proved it in front of witness after witness after witness. We can continue to ignore that and continue in the darkness now for all of eternity, or we can say, yes, God, I believe and I want to receive what you have done for me. I want to walk in the light. As Josh alluded to earlier, we have these cards, and every single one of you should have one next to you and a pen. And what I'd love to do is for absolutely everyone in the room to participate in this, because there is something that each one of us can do. We can see there's five boxes there, and what we want to do right now is we want to respond to the message that we've heard tonight, to who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. So if you look at the first box, I already have a relationship with Jesus. If that's you, if you love Jesus, then we want to praise God for you and we want to thank God for you. Please tick that box so we can just celebrate that with you. The second box, I'd like to restart a relationship with Jesus. So often in our darkness of this world, we can walk into the light that Jesus offers and then see the darkness and go, no, no, I'm going to go back to that. If tonight what you've heard has made you think, oh no, I've been walking in the darkness and I want to come back to the light, then I'd love it if you would tick that second box. The third box, I'd like to start a relationship with Jesus. Maybe tonight for the first time you have felt God say to you, hey, I want to take that darkness away from you and I want you to walk in my light. I have come and walked among you. I've become a man and died in your place, the Creator suffering death at the hands of creation so I can have a relationship with you. If you've heard that and believe that for the first time tonight, I want you to tick that box, and I'm going to pray a prayer in a minute that will help you kind of solidify that and explain that and walk through that with God. And maybe that's kind of close to where your heart's at, but you still have some questions that are holding you back. Please tick the second last box there. Or if you've joined us tonight and there's still some things keeping you away, some reasons that you're not keen, then please just tick no thanks, not today. And I want you to know that you are welcome here every single week. And if you could all chuck your details on that. In a moment, we're going to have an item sung for us. And there'll be buckets coming around and you'll be able to put those in the buckets then. And if we could all participate in that, that'd be great. If you're in that third box and you said, hey, I'd love to start a relationship with Jesus today, then I want to tell you that there are angels partying in heaven and there are people celebrating, and we'd love to celebrate with you after in the house as well. We'd love to chat with you. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to pray it line by line and stop between each line. And I invite you in your head to just pray along, repeating me in your head with your heart to God, if you would join me. Lord, we are sorry for our sin, and we thank you for your love. Thank you that you came to this earth, the earth you created. Thank you that you died in my place. Please take this darkness away from me and let me walk in your light. Thank you that I've found salvation in you. In Jesus' name, amen.